Now that Jesus is not just Savior, but He also has become your Lord. So He skipped over lording it over the wicked. He skipped that whole idea that they had that a man has a conscience that tells him right from wrong. Don't preach that. Do not preach that. And don't preach the law, the moral law of Judaism. Don't preach that either. Just go straight to the gospel of the kingdom about mercy and about the love of God, the unconditional love of God for sinners. Because neither the conscience nor the law of the Jews can save anybody. The blood of goats and bulls won't do. Now that the perfect has come, the imperfect passes away. So our sins are forgiven, not because we behaved, not because we earned our way through a law or through obeying the conscience. You did neither. Because by the law, nothing is made perfect. Only God does what's perfect. Jesus is the perfect sacrifice, the perfect offering, the perfect atonement. And He has given this as a free gift of God so that we might realize the issue is not how I perform. I need to perform, but I need to perform with Jesus being the source of my obedience. In other words, the fruit that I bear, I didn't bear. That was Jesus through me bearing that fruit. So therefore, we are now saved not by our works, but by believing that He cannot lie. What He's written down in that Bible, what He's written down, Old Testament, New Testament, all inspired by the Holy Spirit, what He's written down, I need to now focus on Him keeping His word, and He's perfect, Him keeping His word and not me believing what He's kept. Not me believing what He's kept. Me knowing that He cannot lie. If he says it and I find it in the word, I can bank on that. I can count on that. I'm certain that He has forgiven me even though I don't deserve it, even though I don't qualify. I believe that what He's written in His word is exalted above His name, which is the highest thing on earth. The name of God is the highest thing on earth. But He exalts His word to us, that word that we now have, that word which is written down in our language. That's the word that I need to focus upon. Because it says that anyone who believes, whosoever believeth on me, shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. So the whole gospel the whole gospel is included in that meal we just partaken of. It's beautiful. It's beautiful because it's totally the heart of God. It's totally the heart of God. He doesn't want you to pay the debt you owed but didn't pay. He doesn't want you to pay that. He wants to pay it for you. He wants to take care of that. He is your atonement sacrifice. He is the Lamb that taketh away the sins of the world. He is the one that God provided so that think no more about you behaving. Think now about Him behaving through you. He promised that. You're just the branch. You can't be the vine. You're the branch. But He, the vine, works through the branch, all of us, so that He might now not only forgive us for our sins, not only show us our sins, but also reconcile us completely, remove the sin from our life that He may bear witness through us. And we're able to witness to people. And when men see your good works, they'll glorify your Father, your Father, your Father, your Father, not the gods of, you know, the Baal gods, not those gods, humanistic gods, people behaving themselves. That doesn't work with God. He's eliminated that. So this fifth chapter is a door was opened into heaven. And John, the revelator, by a vision, could see that door opened in heaven. He could somehow see. And everything he saw and heard, he wrote down in our Bible. So that Bible, which he wrote down everything that God the Father wanted to reveal about his Son. That the Son is not just a Savior, he's also your Lord. But he uses his lordship now not to condemn you for sinning, but he uses it to tell you, this is what I'm working on right now. I'm going to work on this if I have your approval. And you can say, yes, I approve. Go ahead. Do it, because you're perfect. I'm not. So what God now uses his holiness to make you holy instead of expecting you to be holy so that you please him. Don't do that anymore. You don't need to behave to have God accepted you. Why I don't know why God would do that. Why would God do that? I don't know. It's a mystery of righteousness. It's a mystery. But it's in the Word. It's in the Word. That whosoever believeth on him, on his name, on his gospel, on his goodness, on his grace, on his mercy, on his power, on his majesty, on his favor, all of that is given to us as a free gift. Now, you don't have to think about it. It's written down. If you read it and then forget it, it's still written down. You can go back and read it again. He'll never change his mind. He is completely the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's amazing. If I were God, I wouldn't do it. If I were God, I would never forgive people that sinned against me. If I were God, thank God I am not God, but that God is God. I thank God, because God is much smarter, nicer, kinder, powerful, and so on. He can do anything he wants to do. And I believe that. How do I believe it? Oh, I just did what the Bible said. Faith cometh by hearing. I heard it. I read it. I heard it. I believed it. Now I'm keeping it. How? By not keeping it. By not keeping it, I'm keeping it. Because I didn't do the work that he did. But he said that when I died, you died. Okay, I'm dead. I'm dead. I'm completely dead. And when I rose, you rose. Okay, I'm risen up. And then when I ascend into heaven, you're ascending. Okay, I'm in heaven. I'm in heaven. Are you all in heaven? Amen. It's just a matter of what's written down. It's just what's written. Don't think about it. Don't try to figure it out. You can't. Because God is crazy. He doesn't even think like us. He thinks totally differently. He thinks in terms of unconditional love even to his enemies. That's amazing. I don't think like that at all. I think my enemies should get it. And I want them as my footstool. I can step on their necks and then say, ha, ha, you did bad. And yet God forgives me. So he said, don't do that, Jim. Oh, I want to step on their necks. No. I want you to pray for your enemies, bless your enemies. I want you to forgive your enemies. That's not right, God. They did wrong. But if I don't forgive them, I can't forgive you. Oh, okay, do it. Okay, do it. If you can forgive me, then I can forgive anybody. So, because I'm the worst. Paul said he was the worst. I think I'm the worst. Anyway, it's a little argument between us, but I think I'll win. I am the worst person that ever lived, definitely, except for David. Praise the Lord. David may look innocent, but he is really wicked. He's really wicked. Thank God I'm not like other men.
Amen.
Amen. It's my prayer every day. Thank God I'm not like David.
Amen.
Amen. As you know, David is a billion times more loving than I am, more caring, more, you know, Christ-like. Oh, is that exaggerating? Yeah. Okay, I overdid it. So you see, God accepts us the way we are. He accepts us the way we are. He can see right through you and see your real heart, your real soul, your real life. He can see all that. But he forgives you. It's written down in the book. Written down in the book. He shouldn't have written it. He should have kept a few secrets to himself. Did you know that God has this many secrets and he's only revealed this much in the Bible? He just revealed a little bitty bit. Just enough to save you. Just enough that you don't have your brain to... You can't look at your brain and say, brain, do you agree with this? Because the brain will never agree with it. Your brain will never agree that God can forgive sinners. Nobody has ever done that. Nobody. People that have enemies want to hurt them, harm them. We're the only people on earth that are part of a new creation. We want to bless our enemies. We want to be holy. I do. This happened years ago. I was a complete blackguard, whatever that is. I was so arrogant, so proud, so confident, so full of myself. Did I think that I wasn't a sinner? No, I always knew I was a sinner. I was just bluffing. I was bluffing. I was totally bluffing. I was just bluff. Is there anyone like me? Full of bluff. I mean, I was totally... I did it just not because it would work, just because I just tried it. I took risks. I just tried it. And sure enough, I didn't feel guilty. Sure enough, I didn't have any moments of regret. I just had, you know, I was a wicked person. But one day, God, and he only does this for really rotten sinners like me, one day, wasn't like Paul, who tried his best to be holy. I never tried to be holy. I never wanted to be holy. I never wanted to be a Christian. I never wanted to be anything God wanted me to be. But one day, he scared the living daylights out of me. I don't know what bejeebies means, but it's like those. He did. He frightened me, not by Al-Qaeda or homosexuality or lying and cheating and so on. I did all that easily. It wasn't by that. I'm telling you something about myself, that as a pagan, willingly, gladly paganizing, doing my own thing, he scared me by a supernatural, not natural, demonic, satanic insight that something in this world is much more evil than I am. I am evil. But something in this world is more, and you can't understand it. And I realized I didn't have any power against that evil that was in everybody. Everybody. But it wasn't them. It was something else, more powerful. Now, I didn't believe in God, but I did believe in the devil, meaning that there is this sinister force, and it scared me. It scared me because I lived a cavalier life. That means I just blew everything off. I didn't care about mother, father, brother, sister. I don't care about anybody. But one day that so struck me, I used to dream up, I would wake up in the middle of the night screaming, ah, you know, it's just scared Peggy. And what's wrong? I had a nightmare. Well, go and sleep in the other room. I couldn't share it because it was so scary. For example, I remember this vividly. I saw the universe, the whole structure of the universe, burning up with fire. You probably think I read the Bible and that's where I got it. Maybe I did, but I don't know about that. All I know is it's in a dream. It just, you know, I can see the whole world perishing. And I realized I don't know anything. I'm smart, but I'm not smart because I don't even know any of that. That's scary, that in this world is something more scary. Now, why am I sharing all this? And eventually he saved me and so on. But why I'm sharing it is because it's in the book of Revelation. In the book of Revelation, it doesn't say that Jezebel or Nicolaitans or people's sin is the real sin. It says something else. He has hosts in heaven. Not in, they don't live there now, but they used to. They're evil, demonic hosts. And without knowing those words, I just knew it. Those guys. Those people are much more evil than I am. And I'm arrogant about it. But these other forces that can burn the whole world up and destroy it and so on and so forth, I knew came from God, even though he's using demonic forces. Now, what I'm telling you is that's the future. You have no idea what demonic forces taking over the world. You can see it in people, but they're just the housing of this. You can see it in people's faces, but that's not it either. And this is what scared me, because I'm not seeking God. I wasn't trying to be a Christian. I was just wanting to know, what is this demonic force that I see in my dreams and that I know is there? It's kind of like a little kid. They'll wake up in the night and screaming. What is it, Kara? What's wrong? Just be here right with me. Okay. Well, there's nothing here. Look, I'll open the closet door. See? There's nothing there. It's under the bed. Look, I don't see anything. I don't say anything. It's there as soon as the lights are out. It comes back. Uh-huh. So I used to have to then wait 45 minutes. I don't know why. I don't know, Peggy. Did you ever do that? Anyway, I did that with all the kids because I didn't want them to be scared. Because I remember when I was a kid, I could always see the doorknobs and all that kind of stuff. And I knew there was something lurking behind there. And it was going to get me. Did anybody ever dream that? Anybody, am I weird? Thank you. Thank you. One or two. You rest our liars. I know you. All little kids that I've ever met, because all four of my kids, whenever I would try to move away, because I'd, you know, they're sleeping now, and then I try to move away, they're actually going to grab me there right away. Don't leave. Dad, don't leave. And I knew they were petrified. And I knew I had to do this thing from time to time to calm them down. But I did it. And even if I was wait 45 minutes, creeping, 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 finally I kind of like get up. They grab me right away. Don't leave. Don't get out of here. So it's funny now, but it wasn't funny as a little kid. And it wasn't funny when I saw in my own life, I was up against a force that I don't even know exists. I don't even know who it is. I know it's not God. I don't think God did it. But they're bad people out there. I don't even know where they came from. That scared me so much that I began to search Christianity, not to learn about how to be a believer. I didn't believe God was powerful. I didn't believe God could overcome these things. I didn't think they were creatures. I just thought they were bad things. That made me so interested in Christianity, I began to read it, and faith cometh by hearing. And eventually I became a believer. And I don't have anyone but Jesus. I don't have any life but Jesus. That's my whole life. I don't have Jim any longer in my life. When you lose your life, you find it. When you're no longer you, you're not good you, bad you, you're just nothing. You're nothing. You don't exist. So all of that bluff and all of that cavalier attitude I had and the arrogance and so on, I can do that. But I just was bluffing. I was a fake. I was a total fake. Is there anyone here like that? Amen. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, half, eight and a half, nine.
Multiply times two.
So, I really believe that what I just told you is scriptural. That the demonic powers of Satan will someday express the vengeance of God on the wicked. I won't be there. I know that what he wrote in his book, I can rely upon, and I do. I totally rely upon it. I don't even think about it. I don't even examine it. I don't measure it by anything, because there's nothing to measure it by. It just says things that I would never have thought of. Because Jesus, the perfect one, why did he do that for me? Why would he die for me? I wouldn't die for anybody. I don't want to die. I don't want to suffer. I don't want any of that. I just like the goodies and throw away the bad stuff. But he liked me so much, he just kept pursuing me until he got me. Now I'm his. Isn't that powerful? Amen. I think I'm just as wicked as Betsy. I think that. I think we're equal. Do y'all think that you're equal to me? Isn't that amazing? Because we're all crazy. I mean, everybody. Because we're a contradiction, even to ourselves. We don't even know when we're doing right that it's right. We don't know when we're doing wrong that it's wrong. We don't even know anything. I think God is the only one that judges the heart and judges what he calls in the Bible reins, R-E-I-N-S, E-S. He knows you from the inside out. He doesn't just know you by behavior. He knows you from the inside out. And he knows that everyone is scared. As a matter of fact, the whole world lives in sin and death. The whole world is in that. So the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. But sin and death is the whole world is in bondage to that yoke of bondage that keeps them there ever since they're little kids all the way until they're adults. I'm sure your little child sometimes cries out, right? Am I correct? What do you do? Do you just point at a picture on the wall or comforting? Yeah, just hold them, give them water or something. But don't do the sleeping thing. That's ridiculous because I could barely even get my own sleep. But every one of the kids, they were desperate. They were desperate. And over something just imagination, just purely imagination. I knew it was imagination. But now I believe in they're right. I believe that those little kids are smarter than we are. And they know there's something out there that's really bad. And you can teach them all you teach them, and I think that's why they believe it. Because they already know there's something out there really bad. Now, when Jesus starts to move his wrath, after Jesus comes back, he'll sort out the beast and false prophet and all that kind of stuff and then toss the devil in the pit. But then, from then on, his vengeance is for the nations. It's for everyone in this world that's not one of his. And you have no idea what the wrath of the lamb is like. Did you ever see a lamb bite a bull? Or, you know, run from, a dog or something. Lambs have no defense. They don't have anything on them that can defend them. So they need a shepherd to watch over them, particularly at night. Because they're so foolish during the day that one will walk over the cliff and the next one will walk over the cliff. And they're just foolish. So I think that's why God says, I'm your shepherd. I'm shepherding because I'm thinking of my most hopeless ones are sheep because they're dumb. This one goes over the cliff, the next one goes over the cliff, and the next one goes over the cliff, and then they just keep following the leader. Well, that one is somewhere, so I'll just follow close on, and they just perish, right? So we're all sheep. And as a matter of fact, he says, I'm going to send you a sheep in the midst of wolves, which doesn't seem like a good thing on God's part. To send me a little bitty sheep, and there are all wolves all around trying to devour me. Why does God do that? Why would God do that? Why would he send his sheep, helpless, hopeless? Why would he send sheep out knowing that anything out there can eat them up or, you know, harm them? A burr, you know, a tick, anything. Sheep are vulnerable. If they fall in the creek in a little while, they'll be like this, stiff, and because they can't get out of a creek that's running at all because it's running water, and so they just drown there just like that in a short time. Why would God do that? Why would God send you as a sheep? Because you're the sheep. I'm the Lord is my shepherd and so on. You're the sheep. Why does he do that?
For his great glory.
For his great glory. But he knows that if you go out without the shepherd, you ain't going to make it. But if the shepherd is with you, so you're dependent always on the shepherd to protect you from evil. Did you know anything about, you know, physics and so on? Did you know that there's antimatter in the world? There's matter. And God, you know, he creates matter. And no one can destroy it except God. Can change form, but he can't change the matter. The matter's still there. But there's antimatter. And then when they come together, there's an explosion. Heat, light, you know, warmth, all kinds of things happen. The antimatter is like, some say, 6 times as much as the matter. So why doesn't antimatter, which is more numerous, bump into the other stuff and make an explosion and heat and light and so on? Why doesn't it? God. I believe that God actually sees you personally by name, sees you and said, no, that's one of mine, and protects you. Just like you do your children, he protects you. He makes it so that he distinguishes between the Egyptian, you know, camels and then the Jewish camels. I don't know if they had camels, but whatever they had, sheep or goats or something. And he can distinguish between bad guys and good guys. And I think he knows who his people are. Amen? All of us are his people, right? Because we believe. We just believe, and if it hadn't been for the Reformation, we wouldn't even know about that. We'd still be trying to serve a God that demanded that we behave. We don't have to do that because he provided another way where I'll take care of that. I'll take care of that. I'll take care of that. You're prepaid. It's all free. Just take it. Just take it. I mean, if you save me, what's going to prevent me from sinning? I'm so used to it. God, I don't know how God can do that. I don't know how he does it. I don't know how he does it. I would not think of that, of just give people a free. That's taking a risk. That's Russian roulette or something. Whatever it is, it's bad. But he trusted me all those years. I would never have trusted me, never. My parents didn't even know who I was because I always lived a double, triple, quadruple life. Yeah, I could lie about lying and about lying. I mean, I was just so twisted. And I didn't trust myself. Do you trust yourself? You do? You knew that was the wrong answer. And so young people often trust themselves because, you know, they grew up thinking there's right and wrong, and I'll do the right. Well, what foolishness on your part. There is nothing right. Apart from faith, you cannot please God. Even if you do the right thing, it's wrong. Even if you do the wrong thing, it's wrong. Anything you do is wrong. Are you aware of that? Man at his best state. So altogether, vanity. Nothing. But think of the Jews. They're trying real hard to keep the law. And they also go to hell. They don't have any hope. They have no hope. Under the law, nothing's made perfect. It will never please God. You have to be perfect to go to heaven. So how are you going to get there? How can you get there? You have to have a God that's merciful. He has to keep his word. He has to keep his word. He is so reliable. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. It's that God never changes. And I'm so grateful for that. Gosh, I need that God. Now, even though I got away with murder, even though, you know, I always seem to work my way out somehow, my cleverness and my so on, I learned later, don't trust yourself. You're not trustworthy. How many are like me? You're messed up, and you know you're a walking contradiction. Because one minute you say, I'm a Christian, and the next minute you're doing something really evil. And the next minute you're saying you're sorry, and the next minute you're saying, probably I didn't mean that, and so on. How many know that you're crazy? You're crazy. Because you can't even trust yourself. You can't even believe yourself when you say that. Religion teaches you to be safe and secure. Religion does. That's what most pastors, they comfort the afflicted. I think our job is to afflict the comforted. I do. That's what I believe. I think there's a little bit of Dickens in all of us that we need to afflict the comforted, because the comforted are, you know, just relying on good scriptures, but they omit some of the other scriptures. There's some other scriptures there about keeping the law all the time. And I want that. I don't do it all the time, but I want it. I don't want to have a life of my own. I don't want to have an independent life. I want to depend on Shepherd always being with me, for me, under me, behind me. I just draw on that all the time. In my case, I can't speak for anybody else, but in my case, I do love Jesus. I do. I know he loves me, but I also love him. And I don't want to do my own thing, even with Peggy. I don't want to do anything except to obey his voice. Now, somebody else can't catch me and say, you did this, you did that, because you're not God. You don't know what God knows. So I don't trust anybody else to examine me. Said, this is God. I'm not talking about outward, obvious stuff. I'm just talking about, you don't really know the motives of anybody. And this is why God is the judge. He is the judge of the whole earth, because he can read the heart and the soul and everything about you, and knows exactly, without even thinking about it, he knows exactly where you are at all moments. I don't know, he has one of those things that, you know, say, she's right there. She's right there. She just moved. Huh? Look at that. I mean, he has one of those things that works like that. I watch people do that. It's like, how did you find that person? It's him right there. So, make that big. Make that big. And they make it big and you can see the person. No, really. I mean, that it's like incredible.
Norman does that all the time.
Norman does that? Norman does it. Yeah. I mean, it's amazing. Look, here's my kids right here. There. Wow. Hey, you get home right now. So God doesn't even have one of those things. And he knows where everybody is thinking and feeling and everything. So he'll be the judge. And the thing that he honors? Faith. That's all he honors. He just honors faith. Do you believe that you made the atonement, or do you believe I did? Well, yeah, I believe you did. But let your life then prove that. Don't just say it. Your life should prove that you don't believe you're capable of anything. And most people are confident. Well, I'm capable of some things. But what God showed me in looking at terror was the face of terror is not God. Face of terror is not God. It's another demonic element in the world. The primitive things, the elements that make up this world, those are evil. Those are evil. Everything else in the world is antimatter. And when Satan produces his beast, or his, you know, Antichrist, that beast is his special. That's his special one. And he said that tribulation which is coming, nothing on earth has ever compared to this. You think you know how evil is? I mean, you can see it on, you know, people running around. Those are humans. But imagine if you don't run against humans, but you run against demons. They're devilish. They're evil. And so you can't explain certain things that are going on in the body of Christ today. You can't explain why are these people doing this? It's wrong. Why do they do this? It's wrong. It's not right. Why don't they do right? And so my whole job is to make sure, not to convince you, to make sure you know what Christianity teaches. What you want to do, that's your business. So if you do wrong, that's a different deal. That's a different deal. All I do is, you know, just sow the seed. Just keep preaching. That is not Christian. What you just did, that's not Christianity. That's all I do. I don't tell anybody, that's wrong what you're doing. I don't say that. I just say, what you just did, that is not Christianity. That's all. Then it's up to you to make up your mind. Do you want to be holy? Do you want to be pure? Do you want to be, you know, without sin? Because the Bible says, make no provision for sin. Amen? Now, this little scripture, I'll just quickly write through it because I know you're hungry. But that's the only thing that motivates you. Hungry. But I want you to know this. He looks up into the heaven, and John, and he sees that the angel, this big angel with a loud voice, says, "Who is worthy to not only to know what the seal says on the inside, but even on the outside, break the seal, to declare these seven seals," which Jesus is looking at, now he's sharing it, "when I open this seal, something happens on earth that I opened up in heaven, and it's nothing like has ever happened before on the earth. This is something beyond what you are aware of. This tribulation, nothing has ever been like this before. This is not just a reformation. This is not just, you know, people manipulating. And this is something demonic, completely inspired by Satan, that you have no handle on. You have no way to control it. You have no way to even understand how it operates. You cannot. This is what he's talking about. I could read it in the Old Testament, because it's in Isaiah. It's in the prophets. From the beginning, the Nephilim, the Zuzamin, all these people, the giants and so on and so forth, these are mighty ones that have nothing to do with people you know. They have nothing to do with anything down here that you're familiar with. So you don't want to mess with these people. You want to be away from them. That's why he says, pull away from her. Pull away from the whore of Babylon. Don't be near her, because her sins are going to be plagued. I don't want you to have either of those. So just pull away. Don't hurt her. Don't do anything. Just pull away. Just get away. Because when I judge them through the enemy, it'll be severe. And men will even seek rocks and hills and thinking, just hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. This is the wrath of the Lamb. This is the Lamb has come to share God's wrath on wickedness. He hates it. You think that today with reason and with conscience, you can talk somebody into something? You can't talk to people today. You can't even communicate with human beings, let alone monsters, let alone things that are way beyond you. You have no, there's no negotiation. There's no language that you have that can communicate with them. You can see it already on earth. It's already being manifested that people can't talk to each other. The Tower of Babel is reversed. That now people they can't communicate. And for a long while, we thought maybe English will be the lingua franca, you know, it's going to be the language of the world, banking and so on and so forth. No, it's not true. English is not the thing. This demonic force is taking over the world, and you can't explain it. You don't know who's who. You don't even know who to trust in the FBI or the CIA or the Secret Service or whatever. You don't know who to trust. You trust the certain person that's running the whole show. The very people that you think you can go to, this one will be safe. You're wrong. Nothing is going to be safe. This is the future. It's not right now. So I'm just telling you right now, you're already experiencing people, they're crazy. They're just saying things that your mind cannot grasp. So we're in a world of our own. We're a minority now. We're no longer in power. The Reformation didn't solve this, but it knew about it. It knew about it, and it has a German word, Anfechtungen. That Anfechtungen means a terror inside of me that has nothing to do with people. But I can see it in the lives of people. That terror, if it hasn't taken care of you, I don't know how you grow. I can't speak for any of you because I don't know how you grow. Without that terror, I don't see how you could become a believer. That terror so gripped me and deep. I didn't share it with Peggy. I didn't share it with anybody that I knew. I got to deal with that. I don't know how to deal with it. And I would have just degenerated right there. But God spared me. Because I used to picture myself walking along and then I suddenly be in a pit. And I didn't know how I was walking along and I didn't know how I got in the pit. And then in a little while, I'd be out of the pit and walking along. And I laughed at that pit. You just believe in Jesus. It's a sunny day today and I think it's okay. And then all of a sudden, I'd be in a pit again. And I didn't know when I got in and how I got out. I didn't know how I walked, thinking the other thing is stupid and now you're intelligent and so on and so forth. I didn't know how that worked. But I knew one thing. I was terrorized. I was being systematically terrorized. I remember Kara, our oldest one, was 1.5 years old. I was watching her outside. I'm not going to tell you the story, but it's powerful. And fear just came on me. I won't tell you what I was thinking, but fear just came on me, and I realized, you don't know anything about anything. All your education stinks. It's worth nothing because it can't help you right now. These were, forces beyond, human power to control. The world isn't the way you think it is. It's the way God says it is. So what I want to teach you is about this. Anyway, he saw this, and Jesus started opening the seals. I won't read it. But the first seal that he's opened, and then the second, and then the third, and then the fourth, they were the four horsemen of the apocalypse. So I won't explain each one, what they meant. But something is like Armageddon. It's like some kind of a warfare. Something bad is going to happen. And maybe Israel will be in the middle. But however it is, I think the tribulation by Satan is basically against Israel. Because it says in the Old Testament that there'll be a day coming, 1260 exact days. Forget the months and years because they're numbered differently. But those days, and this will be the time of Jacob's trouble. In other words, all of Israel will enter into it, but only some will become sons of Levi that are purified during the time, and some others not. This doesn't tell us enough to explain that, but there's going to be a time, and Israel is going to be the center, not us. Not going to be us. Because several reasons. Number one, you might not be here. And if I'm, thank you, Jesus, I want to be successful in making sure you're ready and that the enemy can't fool you. What's written is what you don't want anything else that you think or feel or you know, your habits and so on. You want what's written by the word. That's how Jesus defeated the devil. It is written. It is written. It is written. And the devil fled. So the devil doesn't have more than three words. Those three, boom, over. You don't have to fight the devil. You just dismiss him. You have to know at least three scriptures. Amen. And if you don't, I don't think you can beat him. Because he's much too clever. But if you quote the word, if you quote the written word of God, then he can't argue. And he flees. Submit yourself unto the mighty hand of God and then resist the devil. He'll flee from you. I don't think people know that. This is for demonic, not for humans. I'm not talking about flesh and blood. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about something bigger, greater. And that's why I love Jesus. I know it's why I love Jesus. And that's why I can't have another God. I don't want another God. I don't want one. And I'm not going to have one. I'll die before I'll do it. So I just have one God. And that God, if he isn't real, I'm sunk. I'm not performing. I'm not just getting here performing. I'm just telling you, if there's no God, I'm sunk. Some of you are survivors. You could survive some of that. Okay, I can't. I gotta have a real God that can answer prayer. Now sometimes I get you know frustrated with him because he won't answer my good prayers. You know, and I want him to because this person should live. And, you know, why don't you do it, God? What is the thing? I don't know the thing. I don't know how to talk to you. You're the only God we have. I don't have two gods. It's not like we're pagans and we had thousands and millions of gods. We only have just one God. And I said, Jesus, didn't I say that? I think I said it. I'm going to say it again. Jesus. Make sure that prayer got through. Because it's written in the Word. And if he doesn't keep his Word, I can't make him. I cannot make God keep his Word. So I have to believe I'm wrong. I have to believe he did keep his Word because I asked him to. Amen. I believe he hears my voice. So I don't know. I get mixed up sometimes. And so I'm not confident like I used to be at all. That's out. I'm now fearful. I fear God, not in the sense of scared of, but fear God, meaning God, you're the only God. You're it. I don't know how to say it right in soft voice, loud voice, you know, I don't know, all those tricks. So God wants you to prepare, and I said there'll be two reasons. One is that because you're a Christian, you may be spared because of the sixth church, the Philadelphia church, no sin. And it says there in verse 10 that if you believe and keep my word and don't deny my name, if you keep my word and don't deny my name, you keep your faith, I will spare you from the great trial that's going to come upon the world. No like has never been before. I'll spare you from all that. Well, I'm on that verse right there. I'm buying that verse. That's my verse. I want to be part of that. I don't want to have even one sin on me. And Jesus began the good work and finished it up. And so on. Do that. Jesus, do that. Because if I don't have you, I don't have anything. And my smarts don't help me here. And nothing helps. God, I'm at your mercy. And I don't know how to behave. I don't know how to behave. But I believe that God can't lie. I believe everything written in that Bible is totally 100% true. So I don't care about brains. I don't care about anything. I just care what he wrote. I'm going to die. I'll die over that. I'm going to die over that because I don't have any plan B. There is no plan B for me. All my eggs are in one basket. I know you're supposed to spread them out, but I don't have that. Is there another basket? You got? God? No. So he only has the Jesus basket. I'm putting all my eggs in that basket. Right? So he looks at Jesus, and the last three are woes. The last three are woes. I thought those horsemen kind of scary. One conquer to conquer and so on. The next one, you know, red and so on and so forth, all these colors. But this horseman, four horsemen of the apocalypse, they're only the first, they're just initial. But later, it becomes these four woes, and the whole end of the world is in right there. Those woes are kind of scary. And the first one is against Israel. It's against Israel. So I know that that's big on God's agenda, is Israel, all these sins that you sinned, they're not going to come upon you now. I'm going to punish you, but only to make you repent. But if you don't repent, then these other ones are coming on you. And they're going to be on Israel. And I'm glad for that. I'm glad I'm not Jewish. I don't want to be those people. Those people are stubborn and stiff-necked. Thank God I'm not. How many are like me? I'm glad I'm not Jewish when they get it. Because the Bible says, don't behave like that, Jim. Pray for them. These are your brothers. These are people. I don't want you just to, you know, think about it. Pray it. Pray it. Pray it like your life depended on it. Well, I'm doing it. I am doing it. And I pray for everybody. I don't have an enemy. People hate me, but I don't hate them. I don't hate anyone that hates me. If you despise me, hate me, misunderstand, that's your problem. But I can't help you. I still love you. I'm not changing. So when he gets done with the last one is all about the church. The last woe. It's all about the church, us, the ones in heaven. The sixth church age. And by the way, that's not the same word as years. When it says forever, that's just this world. But this world says there'll be ages, the last 2,000 years, there'll be ages inside, and that's eon, E-O-N, eon, or A-E-O-N, you know, doesn't matter how you spell it. It's just, these are ages that don't have chronological years to them, 3.5, you know, that kind of thing. And but they just last for 200 years, 500 years. They last a long time, 1,000 years. But it's divided over, you know, Thyatira and these other names. But the sixth one, just the one before us, was really going good. It was the Reformation was spreading out over Europe, and then it spilled over into America, and it created America. And it ends right at that moment. And now we're living Laodicea. Well, the Laodicean, even though you're now during Laodicean time, you are not Laodicean because you are part of the hot, the zestos, reading the Bible, reading it in the original language. I don't want to harp on that, but read it in the original language because it doesn't change the words for the most part. So I just read it in the only one we have right now, the Revised Standard Version. That's the one I'd read. I wouldn't read anything else. Otherwise, did I say that? Well, that's wrong. That's wrong. That's wrong. Sorry about that. Will I go to hell? No. So anyway.
What did you mean?
Yeah, right.
What did you mean?
So the King James, if you read the story, it's so powerful. And there's 10, 20 books like on that. I have them. They're out there. But anyway, you read the story. That was miraculous. This pervert of a king, King James I. He's the one right after Elizabeth. He's the one in 1611 produced that thing with all these scholars. And if you read the story, it's believable. It's so powerful. Because men in those days that he collected around himself were Anglican, they were Presbyterian, they were everything. And he brought them all together, 70-some. And this one, you do the Old Testament, you do the New Testament, and so on. But then over here we're going to have another group, and over here we're going to have another, and they all did the same thing, and they came up with the same text. It's incredible. And so when it came together, they all translated more or less. There's some few things not important. But they didn't miss the blood. They didn't miss the deity of God. They didn't miss anything that was critical. But all the other, every other one that you read, I don't trust any of them. I won't trust any of them because they're built on faulty texts. So read that. Anyway, God is good. Ready for prayer? To food? Are you ready, David? Amen. All right. Let's pray for... You can read the fifth chapter if you want to. Lord Jesus, we thank you for our gathering of the church to hear the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. We thank you, Lord God, that you are about to lead us into a different place than we've ever been before. And then more, and then more, and then more. But the division is clear. The wicked over here, the righteous over here. And we don't want to be almost wicked. I mean, almost righteous. We want to be truly righteous. So, Lord God, you do it. We don't have two gods. You're God. And so, in Jesus' name, we thank you for food, fellowship, and we look forward to the day when we'll eat with you in the kingdom of God. It might be in the heavens. It might be in the heavens. In Jesus' name, and everybody said,
Amen.
Amen.